everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Over, he's got the controls. He's in the driver's seat, I guess you could say. Tom, engineering and producing the show. We had some great rain earlier in the week, and things really greening up, Tom.
Yeah, you know, you look at the Catalinas.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Look at the slopes, the hillside of the Catalinas, mm-hmm. And there's green up there.
It's Oahu East. Well, not quite, but it's...
But Bill, we know who's really driving this choo-choo train.
Well, it's Buckmaster on a midweek edition, August 10th, 2022. The end of the year, we'll close out a dozen years already with the radio show. Then we'll launch into the 35th year on television and radio here in Tucson. The Buckmaster Show broadcast from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We have our live streaming on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Our live line for all of our telephone interviews presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We begin today with Fletcher McCusker. Always a pleasure to welcome Fletcher to the program. He's chairman of the Rio Nuevo District, the Downtown Tucson Revitalization Board, a tax increment finance district known as a TIF that is funded by a share of state sales tax dollars and held accountable to the Arizona State Legislature for use of those funds. And Fletcher, I can't believe it, goes back to 1999.
It's my 10th anniversary at Rio Nuevo.
It is?
Yeah, I was appointed exactly 10 years ago.
Do you have a term or what?
We're not term limited. We serve at the pleasure of the person that appointed us. I was appointed by the president of the Senate and serve the president. The governor appoints, and so does the speaker, which, by the way, all three of those people are going to be new come next year. So it'll be interesting to see how all this plays out.
So the voters made a huge decision there, and they made the right decision with the creation of this district because it does allow those TIF funds to be reinvested into the community to create really a dynamic city center. And I think this has proved out to be the case.
The last 10 years, for sure. The first 10 were questionable because it was government investing in government.
Was that the bridge to nowhere?
That was the Rainbow Bridge and the Science Center and the aquarium. What were we going to do with an aquarium? But, you know, that cratered in on itself, you know, thank God. And since then, we've chosen to partner with private developers.
Wasn't it top-heavy kind of on the west side, the original plans?
The original Rio Nuevo, follows the Santa Cruz.
Right.
That's why it was named the New River.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all immediately west of the Science Center. There was an IMAX theater, the aquarium, an Indian village designed by Caucasians from Kansas. It was just one, you know, a laughingstock idea after another. And they didn't tell anybody at the time that that entire west side section is a landfill. It would take billions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars, to remediate it before any of that could have been built.
You kind of got the ball rolling when your then company, Providence Service Corporation, by moving downtown. Since then, and when was that? What year was that?
May of 2010.
And since then, have others moved downtown?
Sure. Hexagon, Caterpillar, TEP built their extraordinary building on what used to be the Santa Rita Hotel. Axis Catus is an engineering company that moved here from Calcutta, India. So, you know, you could pretty much call us Mining Valley now, given Caterpillar's relocation from Illinois. Hexagon followed them. Hexagon took over the old Thrifty Block. That's now their international headquarters. They run their entire company from that site. And, you know, it was interesting to watch those businesses go through COVID because they all went remote.
Mm-hmm.
But they're now gradually trickling back into their offices.
Is there a lot of office space still downtown?
There's not a lot unspoken for. There's still some space at One South Church, but that's being converted to a hotel. So there's a smaller use of office there, so its occupancy rate as a percentage went up. We see some office interest, but most of the interest downtown right now is multifamily. You know, the apartments that have gone up are very successful, and we see other apartment builders looking around and other hotel operators.
So the evolution began with restaurants and bars.
That was the plan. When we got involved in 2010, 2011, what would attract people downtown?
Right.
Food, music.
Right. And then now that moved on to the business component, and now we're into the housing area.
Yeah.
Along with hotels and tourism in that regard.
Yeah, I think once it became vibrant and recognized as being hip, God forbid, people wanted to live there. So the apartment builders have followed that. And, of course, the rents downtown are very expensive.
How about safety? I'm hearing we've got to do something about getting more cops on the street downtown. Is that being addressed?
Rio Nuevo is addressing that. We still have a huge police shortage, so staffing's been a problem. As downtown reopened, we've attracted not only pedestrian traffic but some undesirable traffic. So Rio Nuevo is now paying for 2 off-duty officers every day to be in and around downtown.
In addition to the regular presence.
In addition to the regular presence,
TPD.
Yeah. And to accomplish that, we offered the highest off-duty rate that the TPD's ever seen. So we have eager policemen doing extra duty in uniform downtown.
And they sometimes are on bikes, sometimes they walk.
Mostly walking, yeah. But they patrol the entire downtown corridor. We're obviously focused on the Ronstadt Center and Armory Park and some of the places where trouble congregates. But I think we're making a difference.
Bring us up to date. Since the last time we saw you, 6 new projects coming on, additional funding for 2 more. Kind of give us an overview on where we are.
Well, a year ago, I think I told you I was really worried that anybody would survive. The restaurant sector was dark and really demolished, and we saw Cafe Poca Cosa close, and Janos closed his restaurant. And
yeah, things looked kind of bleak mid-2021.
Sine Thai closed, and it was really nerve-wracking. For every restaurant that's closed, we've had 2 or 3 interested parties in taking over that space. So if you haven't been downtown lately, you'll see 8 or 9 new restaurants, from the La Chingada to La Cruda, a new restaurant called Taboo. The Delta opened up in Janos' old space. The Monica is doing really well. A Japanese restaurant opened up in the Sine Thai place. An Italian restaurant opened up. So there's still a huge interest from restaurateurs and more coming. I think you're going to see 3 or 4 more new restaurants announced this year. They're relocating to downtown Tucson.
And then the upgrade at the Hotel Congress.
It's extraordinary. You haven't had a chance, to go to the Century Room. It's a very New York-style jazz club that has been sold out since the day they opened.
Yeah, a lot has been happening since you were with us, and it's actually, I couldn't believe it, how time flies. It's actually been about 6 months, and I would like to get an update on the Tucson Convention Center. Is that work continuing?
We're wrapping up. All the major renovation is done. The plazas have been lovingly restored back to their original water features. The music hall was renovated. The exhibition halls have been renovated. And of course, we added 25,000 square feet of meeting rooms and expanded the exhibition hall space. And at the same time, added 2 garages. So all that work is done. We're now moving into high tech. We're upgrading to 5G. We're upgrading to high-speed wireless. And there's some places still on campus you can't get a cell signal. So the last piece of our work there will be to modernize the technology and then to use some of that technology to help enhance the TCC.
So the entire block at 340 North 6th Avenue and 7th is going, there's a whole plan for that whole block?
Pickleball.
Pickleball.
Pickleball. It's a Scott Steidler project. It's evolved over time, but their latest version of that, which they're constructing, is both indoor and outdoor pickleball and attached to a restaurant and bar. And, you know, we'll help anybody that wants to come down. As insane as it sounds, we think that's going to be very successful.
And what does the hotel picture look like right now? How many rooms do you estimate have come on, new rooms in the downtown?
Once the DoubleTree at the TCC opened, the Hilton opened across the street, they spurted dramatically, but they were quiet during COVID. They will tell you now they're about up to 86% occupancy. Hmm. This AC Marriott was the most successful AC in the chain pre-COVID.
Really?
And it's now picking up momentum.
In that particular brand of Marriott.
Right. Huh? So the Marriott's looking at another hotel downtown. The Arizona Hotel will become a Hyatt. And we see two or three hotel operators every week looking for either space to convert our ground to build new on. So, you know, we might see, between the time I see you next, two or three hotels announce they're breaking ground.
Well, I can remember a time we could not get a brand name hotel to even look, not even give Tucson a sniff.
The AC Marriott changed that, and we were surprised. If you don't know the history of the AC Marriott, it's a European brand. It's a boutique hotel. Marriott bought it. And they had not been in the United States. And they announced the first five cities, Miami, New Orleans, Chicago, San Diego,
and Tucson. Wow.
And we were blown away. And they've obviously attracted other operators.
Let's take a break right here. It's Fletcher McCusker with us on the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studios. We will be right back with Mr. McCusker. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show Midweek Edition. Fletcher McCusker is with us, the chair of the Rio Nuevo District. Downtown Tucson's Revitalization Board, he has now completed a full decade as the chairman, and it's kind of an open-ended deal, so he's not going to be termed out. He loves what he's doing, so he continues on. In the first portion of our interview, we did not mention Fletcher's latest venture, UA Ventures, a venture capital fund designed to commercialize University of Arizona science, technology, services, and products. And you've got, what, about a half dozen products, Fletcher?
We've made 10 investments since 2019.
Mm-hmm. And the products range from everything from a new painkiller that would not be addictive to... what?
5G cellular to, you know, liquid carbon to medical devices to defense, laser countermeasures. We were able to pick the cream of the crop from the University of Arizona. And of course, we've always been a great research university, but we've never really been able to commercialize those products. In fact, before President Robbins, you weren't allowed to benefit from your own patent. That has changed. We partner with faculty. We help them build a prototype, and we show it to the world. And every one of the things we're involved with is going to change the world.
All right, moving back to the downtown area and the whole resurgence, what was the big game changer? Was there a particular, some media that changed things, in your opinion?
Post-COVID, Forbes... The pre-COVID momentum was organic, and it was mostly local developers. If you look at, you know, from the time I got involved to 2019, almost everything that we partnered with was someone local, someone passionate about Tucson, often multi-generational. We went dark. We weren't even certain we would survive. In the middle of COVID, Forbes magazine published an article that Tucson was a top five destination post-COVID. And that attracted a lot of people from out of town, out of state, restaurateurs, hotel operators, mostly, and moreover, apartment builders from Chicago, from Sacramento, from Denver, who are now looking at Tucson projects. And I think the magazine was accurate. We're seeing a great deal of inbound interest in Tucson as a residential destination.
What were their reasons?
We're dispersed geographically. So if you're coming from a big city, you have much more exposure to COVID. We don't depend on public transportation, so you're not obliged to have to ride in a crowded subway or a crowded bus. Great university, great downtown, you know, a lot of employment opportunity. So all those, that chemistry identified Tucson as a top destination. And I think it reminded people of the opportunities here. When you look around at those other cities, we are the most affordable of any of those. Cost of living, cost of housing, you know, sales tax, property tax. So it's attracted a whole set of inbound developers. And you know, so those that are leasing apartments are leasing them faster than they can build them.
How will the Broadway work that's been going on, it seems like, forever? That's part of your footprint, isn't it?
Yeah, we weren't planning to go east on Broadway, but as it was being widened, they were going to tear down some 50 properties. We convinced the RTA instead to deed them to Rio Nuevo. So we will now activate some 50 properties that are very close to the road, but we'll activate as small retail, coffee shops, restaurants, bars, doing some interesting thing with the Z-Moms at Treat and Broadway. we took the adjacent three buildings and combined that with them to create an African bazaar, outdoor African bazaar. So I think, you know, that 2 mile section is going to be the gateway to downtown. It's going to be a very desirable food and beverage establishment, not unlike what we've done downtown.
Does it look, you think it's going to look nice? Because you've heard the knock that people driving from the airport to Tucson say, oh my goodness, this needs a beautification project.
Well, Broadway is quite spectacular. It's now winding. And we're saving every one of those buildings. Many of them were historical. So it will not be strip malls. It'll be restored bungalows for the most part. And we think it's going to be very attractive.
Think about the resurgence, Fletcher McCusker. After World War II, strip malls and Life magazine, I think, singled out Speedway as one of the ugliest streets in America. What happened to, what was the evolution of this community post-World War II?
It was developers following the money and following the crowds. You know, that's when you saw ranch-style homes.
Yes.
You know, it was when you saw the drive to destinations, the strip malls, the drive-in theaters. You know, we were accommodating, when my grandfather moved here in 1929, it was a town of 30,000 people. So it's only been two generations that we've gone to a million. And most of that influx are not as concerned as the earlier population about the aesthetics. Mm-hmm. So if you look at the things that we've built and the malls and the unattractive parts of Tucson, that all came post-World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God we saved some of that. The barrios have been saved. The barrio that was at the TCC, of course, was turned down. But we have some legitimate, historic, original architecture around. And I think people are concerned now about the aesthetic. And they're nostalgic, which is the reason we ended up with these buildings. They were going to tear them down, every one of them.
They tore down a lot of, just for the TCC, that was a lot of acreage.
It was one of the original Mexican settled barrios.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of controversy because it was identified as urban blight. But make no mistake, Bill, it was racist. You know, it was a Caucasian government condemning Mexican settlers. The irony of that is the Tucson Convention Center is old enough now to be a historical landmark.
Wow.
So it is now on the National Register.
We had a listener who wants to know if you could comment on the prospects for Tucson with Old Tucson as a possible movie and TV production coming back and as a tourist attraction. Can that help Rio Nuevo?
Well, the biggest thing that's going to help the film industry, and we were very much involved in that, is the legislation that passed in this session that provides for the first time ever tax incentives for film and TV to film here. We have constantly lost out to New Mexico because of a huge incentive they have. Our incentives now match them. I read last week they're building a soundstage in Scottsdale. Old Tucson is going to reactivate. We're seeing producers and directors and film companies in town scouting now because Arizona now will compete with New Mexico. And Rio Nuevo, of course, was involved in the recruitment of the HBO series, which ultimately moved to New Mexico and to the Top Chef program. And we really worked with this legislature, particularly Senator David Gowen. May surprise a lot of people. He was the primary sponsor of this incentive bill. And they saw he was chairman of appropriations. They saw the economics of re-attracting the film industry back to Tucson. Also, that's going to revitalize as an amusement park. So I think it'll also be a destination now for people who might otherwise skip Tucson.
So you mentioned perhaps the next time we meet, there will be some more hotels. But generally, in the next 5 years, what's it going to look like downtown?
Well, the far west side will be developed. The base of A Mountain, which is 55 acres in the original Rio Nuevo, it won't be an aquarium and the science center and those kind of things, but you're going to see it gradually develop. The Batista 300-unit apartment complex is breaking ground this month. It's the western terminus of the light rail. So I think you're going to see the west side of the freeway develop. And you're going to see every infill lot in downtown proper get occupied by either an apartment building or a hotel. And then as you go East Broadway, that's going to be smaller coffee shops, retail, you know, probably all the way to Elkhorn. And at some point, Rio Nuevo will be built out. There will be nothing left for us to do. And right now, we sunset in the year 2035.
So by 2035, you think it might be built out?
I think we'll be built out, unless they expand it. There's been some interest, surprising to a lot of people, of expanding the TIF. There hasn't been much interest at the legislature until now, but they now see it as a valuable tool.
Okay, Fletcher McCusker, always a pleasure. Keep up the good work. Thanks, Fletcher.
Bill, thank you.
All right, we'll take a break right here. Coming up, Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham will join us on our live line, which is made possible by our friends, of course, our friends at Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our midweek edition. This portion of the program presented by Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. It's a beautiful 13-acre site. Everything you can imagine for your gardens. Not just the plants, but all the accessories, the pottery, you name it, they've got it. And their sister business on site is Zocalo Village, great, beautiful, speaking of pottery, Talavera Pottery from Mexico. They've got some beautiful items over there. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com are the two websites. Green Things, over 50 years in business, and they're open daily. All right, let's check in on our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham, who is with us now on the live line, taking a lunch break from his duties as an educator. Councilman, how are you?
I'm very good, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
Tell me about your duties this year. What school are you at and what are you doing?
I'm a PE teacher at Gridley Middle School on the east side.
And how's it?
This is my fourth year in the job. And it's you know, I equate this to Star Trek VI, the movie Star Trek VI. So, and the reason I say that is because in Star Trek III, Spock dies. And then in Star Trek IV, Spock really isn't back to normal. And so Star Trek V. So Star Trek V, Spock is kind of back to normal. And that's kind of the only thing good about that movie is Star Trek V, is that Spock's actually back to normal. So the one thing that's going on this year is I feel kind of like it's back to normal. We're not running around with masks. We don't have 15 teachers out every week because of COVID protocols. We were a little more free and easy this year. It seems like we're back to dressing out in the locker. It's just kind of that this is the first school year since COVID that feels somewhat back to normal. That's what I'll say.
But COVID is still with us.
It is. But obviously the paradigm has shifted as far as some of the dangers and some of the perceived dangers. It seems that we've been effective in developing medications for intervention as well as prevention. We've developed some vaccines. And so as a result, I think the paradigm is, remember, when that first strain of COVID came and it had about a 10% mortality rate and was really scary and it wasn't really that transmissible, but if you got it, you were really at risk. That's kind of changed where that risk has been reduced, because if you've been vaccinated or double vaccinated and you have access, the hospitals and medical community kind of know what to look for now and have some drugs that can intervene on the progression of the disease, as well as the strains have changed. And so some of the risks that were present before aren't there. So it's just a different paradigm. So that's why I say it like that.
I am currently reading the book Virus. Nina Berline, former White House correspondent for Newsweek, has put out just an incredible book about the whole pandemic. The book came out, and it kind of starts, obviously, when the pandemic started in January 2020. But I had the pleasure of interviewing her at the book festival in 2019. And she was talking about that human beings are hardwired to accept conspiracy theories. And she was talking about how quickly that whole thing about the vaccine, that, oh my goodness, don't take the vaccine. There's a little microchip in the vaccine that's going to monitor all what you're doing. She traveled the country, and everybody was saying the same thing. Oh, my gosh, I don't want to touch that vaccine. Don't you know you're going to get a chip in your arm?
Well, I mean, it you know, man, I think that inherently a lot of that goes into it's something I've been thinking about lately, like the Ted Lasso effect, where you know, you want every person you meet to be Ted Lasso. You really do. You want that person that's just positive and tries to keep out negativity and tries to be and we could learn a lot from that, man. And so it's jaded and untrusting and that's a hard thing to do, but you also want to be able to see things at face value. And, you know, people are going to deal with different things their whole lives. I'd say for me, I was actually more worried about the virus than the vaccine. So I weighed the idea that the vaccine was something that could help me. And I think a lot of people did. I think there were some people who waited that the vaccine was dangerous. I think some people sold people on that. I don't know. You know, I don't know who's right or wrong. Everybody has a right to their opinion, but I will say that I feel that the response ultimately, once we kind of got things going as far as getting the vaccine through, working on the science for intervention medicine and understanding what to do as people came into the ER and slowing the progression of the disease until the strains became seemed to be less virulent or less dangerous. I think those were all good things. I think that's where we are. I mean, I went 2 years without getting COVID, and this past summer I finally got the Omicron, and it was not fun. You know, a lot of people had said on the radio, that, "Oh yeah, it's just a bad cold," or whatever. No, it was a lot worse than that. So, anyway, I look at it all the way around. But for me, as of right now, this is the first time in a few years, definitely, that I feel coming back to school. I feel we're more in a situation normal, and you know, I'm not as cognizant. I mean, that whole guardedness of social distancing every single time you went out in public. Remember that?
Yeah.
In mid 2020, went to the store and you're in a mask, and a guy would cough 6 feet away from you, and the neck hairs in the back of your neck would pick up.
Oh yeah.
Well, I'm not feeling that right now.
I can remember. I remember dreading having any allergies during that period. I mean, you know, God forbid you start sneezing. People really freaked out. So, well, we all got through it, hopefully. All right. Tucson is set to adopt a source of income protection for renters next month, according to the Tucson Sentinel. What is this source of income protection?
The idea is that we don't want people to be discriminated against just because they're receiving some type of benefits. In other words, you have to fill out a source of income when you rent. And sometimes it might say your source of income is disability, or your source of income is TANF or any of the other social programs or social benefit programs or entitlement programs that are out there. And we received some complaints that there were people saying, "All right, I'm not renting to you then." And so we don't want to have that. We can't really have that. So that's the idea behind this law. And we think this is a good ordinance. I support it. And, you know, if someone has the means to pay their rent, then they should be able to rent an apartment like anyone else.
So the people who will be impacted are people on fixed incomes, correct?
No. The people who will be the people on fixed incomes will be impacted positively because it should be easier for them to rent an apartment. I think some of the property management firms will probably have some objections, but I don't think I think this is good for everyone, and I think this is an opportunity to help us with the housing crunch that we're in right now.
Hey, before we take the break, we just had Fletcher McCusker sit down with us here in studio for a half hour. Wow, so much going on downtown. You want to make a quick comment about that?
Well, I think he's just done a really good job in Tucson. In kind of revitalizing downtown, and this is the thing with Fletcher, which makes him such a great guy, is that he started engineering this 15 years ago. He was one of the first corporate managers to put his money where his mouth is. He rented, you know, he owned that Providence Corporation, which was a national company, a national social welfare company actually, and he or Mental Health Services, and he put their headquarters right downtown and restored a historical building downtown. He was the first guy to do that. So he's been, you know, you got to look to those people who live it, breathe it, and do it. And he's been that guy, and he's been this incredible advocate for Tucson's core over the last decade.
Yeah, think about it. I mean, He told me he's up at 4 a.m. starting work, his work day. I mean, the guy just, he's into all this stuff, all these projects over at the U of A, his UA Ventures. It's just amazing because I've got a little history in this town, and I can remember my week or monthly conversations with then-Mayor Walkup on the TV show when I'd ask him every month, what's going on with downtown? It doesn't look like anything's happening. And now look at it. We couldn't even get a brand hotel in the downtown area. Now Fletcher's saying everybody's jumping in, you know, Hyatt, Marriott, Hilton. They all want to be in Tucson, Arizona.
There's a couple of capstones we can put on that, which is another discussion for another day. But the bottom line is that it's been a yeoman's job. Our downtown is vibing. It's becoming, you know, I've actually hosted some people from out of town a few times. And that's kind of a buzzword I get. Oh, man, I'm so vibing this place. That's what they say to me all the time about downtown. So it's a great success story. Our downtown is good and healthy, and we got to keep that momentum going.
All right, we'll take a break right here. We'll have some more with Paul Cunningham, Tucson City Councilman. Then we'll let him get back to teaching PE over at school. But we'll take a break right here. More with Paul after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rieto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Bill Buckmaster with you in the driver's seat. You know, when we talk about Silver City, we always say in the summertime it's going to be 10 degrees cooler, at least, over in Silver City. Right now, I think we're pushing 20, maybe 20 degrees cooler. There are 78 degrees midday. We're going to be in pushing 100 today, so... this is one of those days, and looking at those temperatures overnight, around 60 degrees. That is very, very pleasant weather over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. So hopefully I have piqued your interest into going to their website, southwestnewmexico.org, and start thinking about jumping in the truck, car, or whatever, the motorcycle, jumping on the motorcycle. Wouldn't be that bad a drive in a certain kind of motorcycle. About a three-hour drive east of Tucson. Actually, it could be quite pleasant on some of those motorcycles that are built like a mobile home. But anyway, Green Things and Silver City, a couple of our great sponsors that we talk about, and Silver City is the one right now where we hope you'll head in that direction east. Again, southwestnewmexico.org. Let's resume our conversation with Paul Cunningham, Tucson City Councilman, and we were talking about a guy who really makes a difference in this community, Fletcher McCusker. On Friday on the program, Tim Tomier will be with us. He's another guy, Paul, who, as you well know, is the assistant manager for the city of Tucson. That man has a lot on his plate, and he's really making a difference, I think, in city government here.
Well, the big thing about Tim was when we brought him on as the water director, and you could tell right away he was a creative thinker. He had some visionary, you know. When you first get on the council, when you first get there that first day, you want to help everybody. You have this, if you're doing your job right, you have a vision of what you want to do. And a lot of what you hear is, well, actually, somebody's thought of that before, and we couldn't really do it because whatever the reason. It's a really humbling experience, to be honest with you. Tim Tomier, along with Mike Ortega, quite frankly, who brought him in, was one of the first people who you'd go to them. We had a young lady who retired a couple of years ago named Joni Stocks too. And the three of them were people that you could go to and say, hey, I have this idea. I want to try such and so. And they go, all right, I'm going to try to make that happen. And they'd actually do the work, and they'd come back to you with things that were just, it was just mind boggling. And so Tim Tomier was like that. Tim, like that Santa Cruz Heritage Project, the idea of trying to revitalize the banks of the Santa Cruz River and setting that up, lots of people have had those ideas. Tim Tomier was the one who figured out, hey, we can outflow, you know, so many acre feet per year. And he challenged his team to engineer it, and it didn't cost that much. And all of a sudden, we have a running and very healthy Santa Cruz River. And then we may try to duplicate that project in the Rialto if the engineering's right and the ecological ramifications are healthy. So he's that guy who's got that vision. But his big job right now is trying to help us with the negotiations with the CAP water, with what's called the Colorado River Compact. It's a compact that's now 100 years old. It goes back to 1922. We talked about it on this show last time, and it really gives us it's what gives us our water. But the problem with it is that if you take the full bank of the Colorado River and you add up both sides of the bank, so you add up everything that's in Colorado, there's a little smidge that goes through Utah, there's a through the entire Grand Canyon in Arizona, both the north rim and south rim, and then it kind of turns left, it borders Nevada, and then goes all the way south and borders Arizona to the west and California to the west and Arizona to the east. So that entire California stretch, we share with them. And for a good 200 to 300 miles in Arizona, we control both banks. In fact, if you add up the percentage of actual embankment per state that share the Colorado River, we have the most. And it's by about like 80%, yet we only get like 20% of the water. And that's kind of one of the things that's really tough. Now, to be fair, a lot of the source and the tributaries that form the Colorado and make it really healthy actually form in the Rockies. So it starts in Colorado. It's rightly named. But Colorado and Arizona, we're having the biggest water crises right now. And so we're the ones that probably need a little bit more of help. the groundwater situation in Nevada, they've got what they need. They've also got some things north where they're able to collect. California has access to groundwater that they have not ever tapped. They also have access to seawater for desalinization. And they're getting water, and we're not. And so that's kind of one of the pieces. And now the Colorado is in an unhealthy state. We're 120 feet away from a dead pool in Lake Mead. And this is kind of not fair to Arizonans over this last 100 years. So Tim Chomier and his team are helping the state of Arizona negotiate that and try to change the game a little bit to say, hey, look, this isn't healthy for the Colorado River, but this the way we're using water and allotting water from the Colorado River isn't healthy for the entire Western United States. We've got to figure out something new, because right now what is working, what we've been doing for the last 30 years, is not going, we're not going to be able to sustain it.
Yeah, I was thinking about Tim. He's always been kind of a go-to guy for Mike Ortega when the big brouhaha over the zoo and saving the duck pond and thing. You know, everybody was really, both sides looked like they were just not going to give an inch. Tim kind of negotiated a settlement and everybody sort of got on board.
Yes, he's that guy who can listen to both sides, get everybody in the room, bump heads together, and I appreciate it. And so that's kind of why he is an invaluable asset to the city of Tucson, and I'm proud to work with him and know him.
Well, we'll get an update from Tim on Friday on these big CAP cuts that may begin next year. We definitely, water is the big issue, isn't it, right now, Paul?
Well, I'd say the two biggest issues right now, both specifically for Tucson, is long-term water sustainability, water futures, specifically with the Colorado River and how we make that water up. That's one. The other thing that we deal with on a daily basis, and this, we could do a whole segment or a whole session next month on this, is homelessness. We try to work it on it every day. I work on it both sides. We work on the numbers game. We work on the why do we have people that usually weren't homeless in the past and they're homeless now? We're trying to answer that question. We're also trying to answer a question of how we can walk that fine line where we're not being punitive, but we're also meeting people where they are. But we're also kind of calling them out a little and saying, hey, you got to meet us where we are and do some of the work to get off the streets. We're trying to run that balance and get those things done. And then down to the more mundane things, my office is actually just trying to place people one at a time. I meet people who ask for aid as far as getting help, renting a place where they have means to pay. I have people who ask for help because they're getting evicted and they are paying their rent and current on their rent, but their lease is up and the rent is going up about 50-60%. So they're going to be, they have to leave. And so those folks are needing a place to go. So we're trying to help them as much as we can too. It is a constant thing. We're every day in my office, we're doing it to try to find a place for everybody. And, I got to say right now it's an uphill battle, but we're not gonna stop. We're going to keep trying and trying and trying until we come up with the solutions that make sense for the community and make sense for the folks that we're trying to help. And I think okay, we'll get there. I'm confident we will.
Thank you, Paul Cunningham. We'll talk more about that in your session with us next month. Have a great day.
Thank you, Bill. Have a great day.
All right. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Tom on the other side of the glass, hope everybody has a great day.